Hello, everyone. This is Susie Ward welcoming you to Matthew and Friends. I think everyone who has read Matthew's messages and the books knows how often he talks about the importance of concentrating on what we want to manifest in our lives and in our world. In a recent message, he said, "This is a year of revelations, with many truths that have long been hidden from us coming forth. He has given us the big picture and even some details of life in Earth's golden age and some images to visualize." Our guest today, Roger Frampton, shares Matthew's view of the year 2012 and beyond. Roger is the host of the 2012 Chronicles radio show. He's a workshop facilitator and a student of all things metaphysical. Roger had a near-death experience some 20 years ago, and since then he has had many angelic encounters and contacts and quickly learned to discern which messages came from light beings. Roger now speaks to groups and individuals about the potentials of the year 2012 and how we need to prepare for these times of great change and opportunity. If you would like to speak with Roger later in the show, please do call. The toll-free number for listeners in the United States and Canada is 888-815-9756. And now, Roger, hello.
Hi, Susie. How are you doing?
Beautifully. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm talking to you all the way from Ottawa in Canada right now.
Yes. And I know it's later there and your weather isn't as nice. And I thank you for taking time out of your hugely busy schedule, Roger.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's always a delight to chat with you, Susie. I never know quite what adventure I'm in for when I'm talking to you.
Well, I hope this won't throw you too much of a loop, but I mentioned how you quickly learned to discern which messages were coming from light beings. Roger, may I please ask you to emphasize the importance of our learning to discern everything from information we read and hear, but especially now that telepathic connections are opening. Tell us how to discern which sources are from the light.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I was blissfully unaware that there was any dark out there, actually, at one point in my life. I was, fairly naive. And so I came into, as you mentioned, I came into a near-death experience, and everything was light and lovely. And that proceeded for quite a while. I became, a Reiki master dealing with energy. But it was part of my, if you like, cosmic education. My guides, my crew, that I call them, made sure that I understood the importance of understanding when the messages came from them and when circumstances around me were not quite right. So there were a number of occasions where I realized that I was under, shall we say, divine guidance. I once lived on the west coast of Canada in Vancouver, and Vancouver has changed a lot over the years. There was a great deal of drug culture that came into that city, which brought a lot of darkness with it. And very often I would have conversations, say with Archangel Michael, and ask him to protect me because of the nature of that city was changing. And often I would find myself in really unusual situations, Susie. I can remember talking to Michael one day and telling him that I felt just a little bit uneasy. You know, that funny intuition you get in your stomach that something isn't quite right. And I got this feeling, yeah, Roger, you're absolutely right, and we would like you to pause here for a while and just take a 363-degree view of where you're standing. I thought, well, that's a strange request. Okay, I'll do it. And I did that. I was right on the waterfront of the beach in beautiful English Bay in Vancouver. And all of a sudden I realized that I was being followed. And I had no understanding of that prior to that message coming into my mind. And it was by a gang of youths who were obviously up to no good. But then my guides told me what to do. They basically indicated to me which direction I was to go and how I was to get there. So I followed that intuitive sense. That then developed into an ability that I guess I acquired of trusting my intuition and simply, Susie, asking the question, where is this information coming from? And then they also taught me how to protect myself. So I just basically, because there is a law of free will in the universe, I choose within my sphere of free will not to receive messages from darkness. So I basically put a stop to it. And I'm just made sure that whenever I asked my guides a question, it was their responsibility. I guess I set up a protocol, you know. And it was their responsibility for give me a clear, concise message that it was them that was speaking, and I felt good about it. So a lot of it, Susie, is intuition. It's that gut feeling that you have, plus a few precautionary measures that you make in terms of making sure that you've protected yourself with white light and that you are in a state of recognition that you are a part of the divine plan.
Uh-huh. Okay, so it's like a double-edged protective sword there. Pay attention to your intuition.
Yeah.
And ask for protection of the light.
Absolutely. And they almost, Susie, kind of gave me a, almost like a light radar. I have a radar system.
Uh-huh.
And,
okay.
And actually, I actually found that when I started, I'm particularly lucky or very sensitive, and I would find that when I would get into certain parts of the city where there was a large concentration of darkness, I would get pressure on my third eye. And that would usually warn me, Roger, this isn't a great area, and move elsewhere. And that's come to me on a number of occasions. So it's kind of like dowsing, you know? You have that feeling that you have. And it's just a particular physiological ability that I have to sense that presence as well. So, yeah, on one level, it's intuition. It's a practical application of understanding that the process of free will. But I also carry this other extra tool in my my quiver here of this sort of physical radar that I have.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds as if you are certainly surrounded by angelic beings who are giving you wonderful advice as well as guiding you. So, thank you for that, Roger. I do realize that isn't how you probably anticipated starting off this hour, but
I think it's really a very important message that you raised, Susie. I think that's one of the fundamental lessons that we all need to learn is the mm-hmm. power play that's going on between light and dark and how we fit in that process.
And it is such a large part of this transitional period that we're going through,
yeah.
Leading up to the year 2012,
yes.
That telepathic connections are opening in these higher frequencies. And people need to be aware that both light and dark beings are eager to contact them. And so they need to be able to discern and know how to protect themselves so that only the light beings get in.
Well, this is one of the reasons that why I love your work so much, Susie, and work with, obviously, with Matthew, is that I'm really close to my mom and to my dad, who's just passed away, and I know my mom's voice. Do you know? I just gut. My gut. I know my mom's voice.
Oh,
and
I can understand.
And you know,
that.
Yeah, and you know Matthew's voice so
indeed.
Well.
Indeed.
And so there's such trust built up in that relationship. It's a very powerful, dynamic relationship, and that's why you have been used so much in bringing this information through. When I get hold of your books, I feel the energy there, and I know that I can trust what I read.
Thank you for saying that. Yes, there is total trust. And I think that to receive information clearly, the trust is an essential part of that. Doubting is going to interject a frequency that's going to screw it up.
Yeah.
So, now, I would love to have you proceed with whatever you want to about the 2012 Chronicles, and which is the name of your website.
Yep.
And also, just emphasize all the parts of that that you feel are equally important for people to be able to focus on, because, after all, this is a co-creational process that we're going through.
Absolutely. Well, you know, as I was talking to Matthew today,
you too, eh?
Yeah, me too. And he was saying, Roger, just chill. Everything will be perfect. You and mother know how to do this. So, and the most amazing thing was that Matthew put some information into my hands today. So I'm gonna, and it's sort of hot off the press in a way. So I'm gonna share that as it relates to something that you said. Matthew said there's gonna be some profound pieces of information come out in the next year or so.
Mm-hmm.
And As you know, I've spoken to you before, Susie. I'm a student of the Mayan calendar. I do a number of courses on it and workshops, especially through our website. And so I've been tracking the various levels of conscious evolution that has been taking place. Well, just for our audience that may not be familiar with how the Mayan calendar and the Mayan pyramids sort of delineate the process that's going on right now, I'll just quickly explain that the nine-level pyramid actually shows the process of conscious evolution that's been taking place for the last 16.4 billion years. It's an amazing device that they developed, and a lot of this information was brought into our reality by a Swedish scientist called Carl. His name is Carl Johan Kalman, and I have studied his work and others, another gentleman by the name of Ian Lundgold, for quite some time. And it would appear that at this particular point in our history, we are going through a period that has been called by the Mayans the Fifth Galactic Night. And that period is one of profound change. And what happens, there are 6 days and, 7 days and 6 nights on a given plateau, on a given level within the pyramid. So we're on the second level from the top, which means that time is really propelling fast forwards at an amazing rate. And into this fifth night is a time where we really start to understand what mechanisms are around us, what truth is coming out of the systems that we thought were in existence. It's a profound time where we begin to peek behind the veil. It's almost like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. Remember when she actually got all the way there to the Emerald City, and she got to peek behind the curtain.
Oh,
and
yes.
See who was there. Well, that's what happens in the fifth night. We start to peek behind the curtain and see what's there. And one of the interesting things that has just happened within the last week, Susie, so I'm going to relate to this information, and it's being released by Reuters News Agency. It was printed in the Globe and Mail here in Canada in the last 24 hours. So there's two specific things that have happened. One is that the British government have just released all of their UFO files in terms of the files that were started back in the, let's say, the 60s or so. They've released the first batch of them. They're going to be doing it over a period of time, and they're releasing it through their national archives. So this means that all of those sightings that were collected by various police departments and military groups were sent to the Ministry of Defense, and their process was to take these reports and see what military implications the UFO reports had. These are all now slowly being brought into the public purview. So that's one piece of information. So we're seeing that the British are starting to release these files. On the other hand, there was a statement by the Vatican this last week that they have decided now to, through their major astronomer, the Vatican astronomer, his name is Reverend Jose Gabriel Fuentes. He is the director of the Vatican Observatory, and he's now saying that the Vatican is not ruling out the possibility of life elsewhere in the universe, which is the first time that the Vatican have ever said that. So we have two occurrences going on here, one coming from the British government and another from the Vatican. And I can't help it, Susie, but, you know, I smell a rat.
And, yes, you know, there is potential for light and dark motive with
absolutely.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could just as easily be doing this to prepare us for an invasion. Yes, there's life out there, and they're coming to get us.
Exactly.
As saying, yes, there's life out there, and we know from communications that these are benevolent space family or star nation families who are here to help us.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, but the thing is, these are the two vestiges of organizations that are still part of the dark cabal.
Exactly.
Now,
and that's
so they're not
why
going to release information out into the public domain that suits their purpose just by saying that everything is light and lovely. They have motives more likely because they are being pressured by exopolitics, extraterrestrial civilizations that are making clear communications that things are and will change. And so they are, whatever they're up to, they are paving the way for some form of galactic evidence of life in another part of the galaxy, or, you know. And that's what the Mayan calendar actually says, that this level that we're in right now, which is called the universal level, and we are into the fifth night of the galactic, of that level, is the very time between now and the end of next year when more and more of this evidence starts to come up. So it's, for me, as a researcher, it just pinpoints yet another indicator how accurate the Mayan calendar is in predicting this type of event.
You mentioned there, galactic several times and universe. And so what I would like to add to that is that what is happening in our world is a microcosm of the huge changes universally.
Absolutely.
And what I have heard is that this is another opportune window or timeline for us to make this leap out of third density into the fourth and on into the fifth, that you mentioned that the darkness that has, well, I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, just for eons, this world has, and civilizations, preceding civilizations on Earth, have been controlled by the darkness. At various times, when there were other opportunities for the civilizations to rise up, they missed it.
That's
the
right.
Dark control was able to still suppress the consciousness
yep.
enough. Okay, that day, or those eons, are ending. They have come to an end, actually.
Yeah, so not this time. That's not going to happen this time.
Exactly. They've had their day in court, so
you
to
got
speak.
It.
And really, by Earth's request and God's honoring her free will to express what she wants, which is to get out of here where darkness thrives, the many civilizations from other star nations are now authorized to assist us. They're not here to take over by any means, but we do need their assistance because the dark control has been tenacious. And you know, and the tentacles are still hanging on there. They're not about to just say, okay, we surrender. But they are being loosened. And something else you mentioned about if the British government and the Vatican, which are two major entrenchments of darkness, are now willing to at least acknowledge the possibility of intelligent life elsewhere, we need to be aware that they wouldn't even have done this if there weren't enough recognition globally, usually from the internet, with evidence that supports these other intelligent civilizations. So that's the first thing. They're almost forced to do it to maintain any credibility.
Right. I think they're doing this under duress.
Oh, I do too, Roger. But they are certainly going to switch this into a mode, or they're certainly going to try to, that serves their purpose of still suppressing our consciousness, our spirits, and keeping on with their subjugation of this population.
One of the other factors that I just wanted to let people know about was the, I don't want people to feel despondent about the things that are sometimes out of their control, and they feel, you know, you look up into the sky. You know that feeling, you look up into the sky, those of us that know, and we see the chemtrails there, and you feel so small sometimes, like there's really nothing that you can do, and I felt that way for a long time. And then just recently, as I have communicated to you, I've been noticing certain phenomena out there that has given me such inspiration and hope. And this phenomena, Susie, happened to me about 2 years ago. I started to spot certain cloud types that had a particular formation to them. And I thought, well, that's really odd. I've just seen two or three of those, and they almost look identical. Then I took a drive to the northern part of Canada, and it took me a good 6 hours of driving. And so I was in the car alone for a long period of time and listening to the radio, and then got out of range of the signal, so I'm kind of looking out of the window. And there are 200 or 300 of the same clouds with the same signature. So I thought to myself, there's something going on here. I have to explore this more. And so I did a tremendous amount of research on the internet, and then I, for some reason, I just hooked into this name on YouTube one day, and I'll spell it out to you. It's called Sylph, S-Y-L-P-H. So if you were to Google Sylph clouds, you'll find a tremendous amount of information. It would seem that these are living beings. They are angels of the air, if you like, organic entities that are busy helping us correct the damage that's been done to the atmosphere. These things actually go out there and act like atmospheric vacuum cleaners. And so I communicated, if you remember, a little while ago, this information to you. And you pointed out to me an amazing chapter that you've written with Matthew from Prometheus, mm-hmm. where Prometheus actually talks about the advent of these kind of creatures in our skies.
Yes, actually, that information came directly from Prometheus. Matthew just usually introduced new entities to me. The civilization that Prometheus represents is in our area and assisting us. They manifest their power in cloud formations, and they are one of the civilizations that are helping to clear the pollution out of our skies, obviously including chemtrails and acid rain and other things. So,
well, now, Susie, I go on my back deck and I communicate with them. And
mm-hmm.
they come around and they talk to me.
wonderful.
So we have this telepathic communication going on, and they let me know what's going on, and they just sort of let me know that things are fine, and they just tell me that it's so pleasant to come around people that acknowledge that they exist, and they just appreciate me appreciating them.
And they do.
Mm-hmm.
They do. They really love it that we acknowledge their presence, especially with gratitude, that we are aware of their enormous assistance. You know, the kind of such extensive assistance that we really we can't comprehend it, because we can't relate to that type of advanced technology or advanced intelligence that enables them to manifest in really whatever form they visualize.
So there are amazing things before us, Susie. I am so optimistic about the future. I'm excited. Now, on the short term, we're going to go through some times of, shall we say, pressure. You know how you're in a pressure cooker and things are going to cook up? Because the dark side is really not letting go. They really do not want to let go. So it's going to come to a head. So we are going to go through some stresses as a group. But, you know, once we know that the light is on its way, it's not so difficult. You know that we are going to pull through this. And what's on the other side is so beyond our wonderful conception that we are going to be absolutely mystified, startled, enlightened, we are going to create a society, a civilization beyond our wildest expectations. So, you know, I just can't wait to get there. I'm so impatient.
I think a lot of us share your feeling about that, Roger.
And that's the hardest part, is being patient, you know?
It is. But what maybe you remember from some of Matthew's messages, he has said, please don't think about this interim period according to the years on your calendar.
Right.
Because Earth, in her ascension process, has gone far enough. So the time as it once was registered in weeks and months and years, that no longer holds true. Mm-hmm. We're moving into the continuum, which is really timeless. And the way we experience this is time just passing faster and faster. Well, this is, it's really what's happening is not time, because linear time doesn't exist anywhere else in the universe. It's actually the energy levels that we've entered into. And we're going to continue rising into higher energy, higher frequencies. And so the time is, it might be an overstatement to say it's going to absolutely zoom by, but it's going to continue passing faster and faster. So we're not even talking about, say, 3 or 4 calendar years. It's speeding up magnificently.
Absolutely.
And so a lot is going to be happening in a comparatively short time.
Now you've just hit the nail on the head. Because these changes are happening so profoundly quickly, according to our normal sort of 6th century or 5th century perception, those frequencies are creating a tremendous amount of both genetic change inside of us, psychological change, physical change, and we're having to process all of this change out of us. We have to make sure that our bodies are clear so that these frequencies can pass and make the modifications to us that are necessary. And what I want to just address right now, Susie, is the way that we can aid that process. One of the things that I've been researching lately is the use of high-frequency foods. And so I've really altered. You'd just never believe it, Susie. I used to be such a meat eater. And I love my barbecued ribs and my chicken and stuff. But I have really switched my diet around tremendously over the last, I would say, 6 months. And I'm now become vegetarian. Apart from the ethical process of, you know, being in oneness with animal life, but more profound has been the effect on me feeling physically wonderful. And I'm doing that because I'm realizing that it's allowing these frequencies to pass through my body much easier. I've noticed that my Reiki work, my energy healing work that I do with people, has become stronger and clearer. My mental abilities, my acuity is better. My intuition is better. So there are things that we can physically do to aid in this process.
There are indeed, and that is the primary one, changing our diets to what you referred to as high-frequency foods, and I think that's a wonderful description of them. And another thing is to wean ourselves off those of us who had become dependent upon drugs. Prescription drugs,
yeah.
Or just over-the-counter drugs, because the chemicals in those, just like the chemicals in processed foods, create toxicity in our bodies that prevent the energy from flowing smoothly. So that's another thing that is definitely in our control.
Absolutely. Another little thing I'd like to get in there, because it has made a big difference to me, is that I moved on to a property where we have our own well. And so we're pumping our own water out of the land, which is absolutely tastes fabulous. And it's unprocessed water. It doesn't have anything added to it. There is no chlorination of the water and no fluoridation. And I've done a lot of study on fluorides. And so now I use a non-fluoride toothpaste, because what happens is a calcification process that also takes place within the brain, and it affects the area that's just part of our third eye. And so this calcification causes us not to link so clearly with those energies that are trying to move through and also our guidance system. So there are little things that we can do like that. So if people want to experiment with it, they can take a look at it. I am finding, I'm just talking for myself, my own personal experience. I have found a tremendous clarity coming to me. And then that's despite the bombardment that we get from other energies. You know, there's all kinds of stuff floating around in the atmosphere out there, from microwaves to cell phone towers and all kinds of other magnetic phenomena. But if you can do these little incremental things, make sure you drink enough water and alter your diet in whatever way that you can do, control the things immediately in your environment, you'll benefit significantly from that.
Yes, indeed. And I think one of the most vital things that we can do for ourselves is not be afraid of what is going on.
Yeah.
To stop looking at the chemtrails, for instance, and going into fear about what effects they are having on us. It's the fear that hugely magnifies whatever effects they would have. For one thing, the various civilizations who are using their technology to ameliorate the effects of the worst toxins, I mean, they're doing that. They are neutralizing some things and at least reducing the toxicity in other things, other elements in the chemtrails, and well, the same thing in water and soil. But fear just allows all of those things to get into our bodies, into our minds, and so I urge everybody, do not be afraid of what's going on. Just maintain your own light and then do these practical things that are within our control, the things that Roger was suggesting.
Just purely because they actually make you feel better.
Yeah, sure they do.
And you know what, Susie? Once you feel better inside of yourself, everything looks brighter, doesn't it?
And you have
the ability now to start thinking, you know, I'm feeling really good, and what would my future look like, and what kind of things do I want to dream into my existence? Because that's what we really need to also talk about, Susie, is our amazing capacity. We are some amazing entities within the nature of our universe. We have one of the things that happened to me when I went through my near-death experience, Susie, was I met these six angels that came into my bedroom. I was about, you know, I currently weigh about 175 pounds, and I had a sickness, and I was not doing very well. I was probably maybe 2 or 3 months away from dying, but I kept going in and out. My weight went down to 105 pounds, and it was a really, really tough time, and I was on drugs and all kinds of things. And one day, the end of my wall of my bedroom totally disappeared. And I'd heard my name being called 3 or 4 times during that day. And I remember being awake and very lucid. And there the wall just dissolved, and six beings walked towards me. And they sort of telepathically communicated. And I was actually quite calm, considering, you know, they just appeared from nowhere. And one of the things that they said was, well, Roger, we just really dropped by to tell you that you have a lot to do, so don't plan on leaving right now. Everything will be just fine. It'll work out wonderfully. And the last thing that we want to tell you just before we leave you is that thought creates form. That's the biggest thing that we want you to remember. And with that, they left. And ever since that point, Susie, I have spent my entire life, the last 20 years, fully trying to comprehend what that means, that thought creates form. And I've realized that we really do, as a civilization, need to relearn how to dream again. need to learn how to be creative. You know, Michelangelo once said an amazing thing. He says, don't criticize, just create.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to do now, is we could spend our time in fear saying, oh, look at what they've done over here and look how they've collapsed this and done that. Wouldn't it be much better for us to spend that time and energy creating in our mind the civilization that we want to inhabit?
Oh, absolutely. And we do have that power within us. We have the power to manifest. In one of the books, one of the Matthew books, is the message, one of the chapters is, belief is what makes it so. And that is, it's the same thing as thought is what makes form. I'm probably paraphrasing that, but it is true. Our thoughts create our reality. And when we don't like the reality that we have created, we can change our thoughts and thereby change our reality. Now, we're not going to change the entire world by saying, okay, I'm going to stop thinking about how awful the war is and envision peace. But that will contribute. Each person's focusing upon peace, harmony among all humankind, living in harmony with all of nature. That is what we are presently co-creating in what we call Earth's golden age.
Absolutely.
And in the continuum, we've already done it. But in our perception of linear time, we're still working on it. But we have already succeeded in doing it. And Roger, I'm going to take just a second. I heard a couple of beeps before, and it could be that some people have are waiting to speak to you, so I'm just going to see. Is anyone out there holding on the line to speak with Roger? Okay, I guess not. I think I waited too long.
Okay.
But at any rate, so.
Phone back.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Phone back. Let me see if I can find that number right here on my sheet. And I'll give it to you. Oh. All right. 888-815-9756. And that's for listeners in both United States and Canada. You can call on that toll-free number. Okay, Roger, let's get back to...
As we're doing that also, maybe I could just give out the website for...
Would you please?
Yeah,
yes.
Because we do also broadcasts like yourself. We have e-seminars and e-magazines, and we also, like yourself, have a great newsletter keeping people up to speed on what's going on out there. So you can certainly get hold of our podcasts and e-newsletter by going to www.2012chronicles.com. That's really easy.
Thank you. Our minds were running along the same vein there. I was just going to ask you not only to mention your website, but also to mention what a variety you of information the people can access there.
Well, yeah, what we've tried to do, Susie, is take a really holistic approach from this. Partly, you know, we are concerned about letting people know that there is an acceleration of energy going on and how that might affect their lives. But also out of that acceleration, we want them to know that this co-creative opportunity that exists, needs to be looked after. So how do they do that? So we're putting them in touch through our radio programs and through our e-seminars with people that are, for example, we have a group of chefs that are chefs preparing high-frequency foods. And we have, so a couple of the people I've just done a program with do just that. They know how to take amazing combinations of foods, put them together, and help you to change your diet. We have people who are into organic farming, and they help you along with that same process there. We've just done an interview with Jerry Clough, who is the husband of Barbara Han Clough, who has been responsible for producing several fabulous books out of she now lives in Vancouver. And he's a great energy healer. So we're talking with them about how do you clear your body of energy blocks so that this energy can pass through easily. And so we're working with other visionaries and people that understand that this is a time of tremendous opportunity, and how do we make best use of this time that we have? We don't want to spend our time bitching and complaining about what's going on in the universe. We have to take responsibility for the outcome, and the outcome is totally in our control. We have to be able to meet the energy 50%, you know? 50% comes, as I feel it, from external forces. But we are participating with the Earth. And one of the other phenomena that I've encountered lately, Susie, I've been really reached out to by nature. I'm very fortunate. I live outside of the city. I live on an acre of land, and I'm spoiled in my environment here. But I've noticed nature actually reaching out to me. And nature is telling me that she misses us. She misses the interaction with humans on a very deep level. And that they want to have us back. They want to be able to play with us again. And we've lost that understanding that we had at one time such a deep, deep connection to the natural world, and now we feel like we're apart from it, or that the natural world is something that we need to dominate. And so that is being turned around, not just because we are perhaps raising our consciousness, but they are making the extra special effort of reaching right back to us.
They are indeed. We are fortunate in the same way you are about being able to live in nature, with nature. Not long ago, two deer were grazing on our back slope, just maybe not even 10 yards away from me as I was looking out the window. And also the trees. And you're right that they actually do reach us. Maybe we aren't all able to hear actual words right now. Eventually we will.
We will.
We will.
We
with
will.
The animals, with the whole plant kingdom. And, you know, one way that we can you know, a solid way that we can know that these types of changes are taking place is by the large incidences of cross-species bonding and taking care of each other, like the baby hippo that bonded with the ancient sea turtle.
That's right.
And like the dog that had just given birth to puppies, and she took a piglet that had just been born, whose mother was sick and couldn't take care of it, and this mother dog nurses the piglet and treats him like the rest of her puppies, and this is happening. Those are just two incidents. But this is happening. This is evidence of all of nature overcoming the predator and prey situation that was created by the darkness. We're moving back to the era when all life on the planet lived in harmony. There, it was totally peaceful. All of the animals, all of the humans. And we're going back to that.
It is
an exciting time.
Oh, it is an amazing time. I had that experience, that near-death experience. I was given a number of gifts out of that. One, a gift of healing. My hands after that started to heat up to tremendous temperatures, and so I would, and then I learned to focus that energy with Reiki and other methodologies. I also became clairsentient and clairaudient. I also can visually see now multidimensionally, which has been a real treat, because I can see through realities, and very often I see forms all around me in the trees and around my property. I see all kinds of nature spirits. We're not too many people. I'm sure that lots of our listeners actually have the same kind of experiences. And I can't usually express these things to a regular audience, but fortunately, Susie, you've got such a fabulous audience listening to you. They understand. And it's exciting for all of us to be able to share these amazing, simple moments that we have when we go into our own place of sanctuary, into our own little part of the world, and we come into that moment of nowness and realize that we're connected to everything that encircles us.
Yes, it isn't just kindred spirits among humankind connecting. It is all of life. The consciousness of all life on Earth is raising now. It's being raised in these higher frequencies. And, now and then I really step back and my heart is so filled with gratitude for being here at this time and playing whatever role I have in it. I mean, I am so grateful for the changes that are taking place, the people who write to me and share their experiences. We did choose to be here. We did choose to participate because we know that we can do it. And not only did we choose, but there were other souls who also wanted to participate in this enormous shift that's going on. But they weren't as strong. They weren't as experienced in multiple lifetimes as those of us who were selected to come. So I think we all need to be aware of it, that we not only chose, we were selected to be here. And
absolutely.
We don't all have to have leadership roles. My goodness, there can just be a few leaders. But we are here with our own specialty missions right where we are.
Even the concept of leadership is going to change.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. I'm so glad you mentioned that.
Right,
it absolutely is.
Because leadership will no longer be leading. It'll be serving.
As it should be.
And I think I'm looking forward to the day when we totally do away with the word government. None of us need to be governed.
That is true.
We will come into a state of mutual responsibility and mutual service. Mm-hmm. As many other extraterrestrial civilizations understand it, you've been fortunate enough to communicate with many of them. And I can tell you, Susie, sometimes I just hoot with laughter when I'm reading through your material, and I various individuals like Lazarus, I think, and they come on with such different perceptions. And I'm thinking to myself as I read this stuff, I wonder what's going through Susie's mind when these characters show up with a totally different take on reality. And some of them are almost like they they're so cut and dried in what they have to say, and let's get on with it. And others can be so diplomatic and graceful. So I find it really, really enlightening reading the material. It's just a hoot.
Well, what was so profound for me was the effects that their vastly different energies had on my body.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. Some of them I felt as if I was being run over by a steamroller. And because they were, these are such vast and powerful civilizations. And others were so gentle. It was almost as if I was in the midst of a lullaby. Roger, excuse me for one moment. I need to mention my guest on the next show. And then will you please think of some wrap-up statement, a really paramount thought to leave with our listeners?
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to give you about 30 seconds to come up with that.
Oh, no pressure.
Right, no pressure. I wouldn't do that to you. Okay, my next show will be June 11th, and my guest will be Hunt Henyon. His lifelong interest in religion and philosophy eventually led to his obtaining a PhD in religious studies, and that led to his becoming a Buddhist and living with monks on the temple grounds in Japan. And for many years, Hunt was a member of the clergy of Ekankar. He has extensively written and been published in a variety of magazines and newsletters. So please tune in listen to Hunt and me talk about his unusual spiritual journey and his road to self-discovery. And now, Roger, back to you.
Okay, no pressure.
No pressure.
Okay. Well, you know, it's been as always, it's always a delight to talk to Susie. I tell people you're my other cosmic mother out there. And we have such a good time when we're on the phone together.
And we do.
One of the things that came to me, you know, kind of sums up what we've chatted about today. We're actually centers around the Hopi prophecy, and I'm sure many listeners have heard it, but it's always good to hear it again. And this is from the Hopi elders, so I'll read it and then just comment at the end here. And it starts off that there is a river flowing very fast. It is so swift, there are those who will be afraid. They will try to hold on to the shore. They will feel that they are being torn apart and will suffer greatly. Know that that river has a destination. The elders say we must let go of the shore, push off into the middle of the river. And I say, see who is there with you and celebrate. At this time in history, we are to take nothing personally, least of all ourselves. For the moment we do, our spiritual growth comes to a halt. The time of the lone wolf is over. Gather yourselves together as we are tonight. Banish the word struggle from your attitude and vocabulary. All that we do now must be done in a sacred manner and in celebration, for we are the ones we've been waiting for. And really, Susie, that's it in a nutshell.
We
must be fully present with each moment as things evolve. We must not operate out of fear. But in a certain sense, we must let go of the shore, too. All of those things, all the preconceived ideas that we have about what makes our life stable, we've got to trust the universe and know that we're on an amazing journey. And just trust that the universe knows what it's doing, that God knows what he is doing or she is doing, and is going to guide us with our beautiful planet. I feel like we're riding on the back of this beautiful, gigantic turtle, and she's taking us for a wonderful ride in the universe. So we've nothing to fear.
You're right. The Hopis are right. You're right. And I'm just going to mention something that Matthew so frequently says to me when I get stuck with something. He just says, Mother, go with the flow.
Go with the flow.
Yeah, go with the flow. So that is the same, it really is what the Hopis say. Let go of the shore. Stop clinging to the old ways and go with the flow of the river.
Absolutely.
Roger, dear, thank you so much for being with me today.
Anytime.
We'll do it again sometime, okay?
Anytime you like.
Wonderful. And now, thank you, all listeners, for being with us today. And from Matthew and me, love and peace and blessings to you all. So goodbye for now.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.